when I've doubted you, when I've cursed you, God, you still love me. And you still died for me when I didn't deserve it.
I know the guilt and the shame that I've been carrying. You took that from me when you took up your cross.
Even when I can't see you, when I can't feel you, Jesus, you give me peace.
Well, good morning. Glad to see everyone. We're in a series called Been There, referring to Jesus. We'll talk about that in a minute. Today's topic is, why is God so slow? So let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand, but would you consider yourself a patient person? So I asked myself this question, and my answer is, I don't know. I'm more patient than I used to be, right? I asked my wife. A lot more patient than I used to be. So I'm making progress. Would I consider myself a patient person? I don't know. Now, some of us can be patient like with animals, but we have a hard time being patient with people. Or we can be patient with our kids, but not our spouse or our grandkids. It's a lot easier to be patient with grandkids. Are you patient, a patient person? Now, sometimes it's about circumstances. Sometimes it's about people. Do you have trouble waiting for vacation to come or whatever it might be? So, second question would be, why does it then seem hard, so hard to wait? Teenagers just left, but you remember when you were about 14, you couldn't wait to get your driver's license? And then when you're a junior in high school, you can't wait to graduate from high school. You want to go off to college, can't wait to finish college and get that first job. Can't wait to find that right person to get married. And after you get married, can't wait to have that child if you choose to have children. And the waiting just goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Those of you who have children, that I always say to that expression, terrible twos. We didn't think our kids, they were terrible all the time. No. They weren't any worse in their twos than they were any other time. And we didn't always, you know, when they were teenagers, we didn't dread them being teenagers and can't wait till they get out of the teenage years. And then emptiness was fine. And then some people can't wait to retire. I got to think, once you retire, what are you waiting for? What's after retirement? Death, I guess, right? Hopefully you can wait for that one, right? One thing that's difficult is when we're praying for something that we'd like to see happen, right? Like if we're praying for somebody we care about or even somebody we don't know very well that they would become Jesus followers. And if you're not a Jesus follower and you're with us this morning, welcome. And we're glad you're with us. But that would be one of our prayers for you. We might be praying for somebody's healing. We might be praying for a disrupted relationship that it would get better. So we want those things like now, don't we? And so it seems hard to wait. So a follow-up question goes back to our title. Is God just slow? Is God just kind of ignoring us? Is God just busy doing something else? Now, the series is based on the fact that Jesus experienced everything that we've experienced. So he understands, he sympathizes. This comes from Hebrews chapter 4. For we do not have a high priest, referring to Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. So he had a human body like you and I, so he understood the failings of a human body. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, so whatever may tempt you, tempted Jesus. Big difference, though, yet without sin. He never failed. And I think in a couple of weeks we'll talk about temptation. But let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. So consequently, we don't need to go with reservations or fear to God. With whatever prayer requests we have, whatever need we feel we have, we shouldn't be embarrassed to go. We shouldn't feel guilty to go. We should go with boldness because he's experienced whatever it is as you and I, and he understands. Right? Now, one of the strange things about Jesus was he waited till he was 30 to start his ministry. I thought I waited while I was 26. And he waited 30 years before he started his ministry. And he waited quite a while. And somebody said to me after the first service, well, maybe he need to experience all the, during those 30 years, all the things you and I experience, like having a job. Evidently, his father probably died, and he was the oldest son, so he would have been the male representative of the family. And so, Jesus had to wait. He understands waiting. Now, we're going to look at something that John wrote. And John refers to the word time over 35 times in the book of John. The phrase time. Some translations use the word hour. And so one of the first instances is in John chapter 2. Jesus just called some of his disciples. And then he's attending a wedding with his disciples and his mother in this town. Now, weddings back then were kind of town events. And they went on for like a week. And so if you were the host, if you're the father of the bride, so to speak, you had to do a lot of preparing to make sure you had all the resources for this week-long celebration. My wife reminded me, and Josh remembers, I did a wedding in Portugal. I was a pastor in Portugal. And it went on all day long. And they kept bringing food. It was a great celebration. So in this, we don't know when during that week the host ran out of wine, which was a basic part of their meal and their celebration. I got to thinking, I'm not a wine drinker, but you wine drinkers, would you like to have that wine that Jesus made? Probably no wine had ever tasted like that wine. So Jesus' mother comes to him and says, they have no more wine. Now that just sounds like information, right? But that wasn't information. That was a request. It's like when my wife says, the trash is full, or the grass is tall, or the hinge is loose. What is she saying? You do something. You fix it, right? And so I don't believe she believed Jesus was going to turn water into wine. But I believe male, again, the head male in the family, there's this need. Jesus, see what you can do. What was his response? Dear woman, that's not our problem. Why? My time, and there's that word, my time has not yet come. There is a time when it will come, and we'll get there in this message, but it wasn't then. He can do something. He did do something. But his time had not yet come. So on your outline, what is God doing while you and I are waiting? What's he doing? And a basic premise, I believe, is this. While you and I are waiting, God is working. God is always working. He doesn't take a day off. He doesn't take a time off. So while we're waiting for whatever we're waiting for, and I'm sure all of us are waiting for something, God, we got to be sure that God is working. A passage from Isaiah combines these two words. For since the world began, it's a long time, no ear has heard or an eye has seen a God like you who works for those who what? Wait. So while we're waiting, he is working. One translation says, gladly waiting. I don't know, I can always say I'm gladly waiting. Sometimes I'm impatient, just like you. But we are to trust him during that waiting time if we know his character. So on your outline, God's working on it, whatever that it is, maybe because it's not ready yet. Or I'm working on them, he or she, because they're not ready yet. Or maybe he's working on you because you're not ready yet. Some of you heard me tell this story when I was, I'm the oldest of five children. My dad died when I was 18. Kind of like Jesus, I was the oldest male in the family, even our culture's different. Anyway, my sister May, most of you know, so when I'm 21, May is 20, and she gets May and Fred get married. When I'm 22, my brother Pierce, who was 20, he got married. So I'm in school, going to school to be a pastor. Didn't want to be married yet anyway. But then when I finished school, I was 24, and I want to become a pastor. Now, I'm single and 24 with only 3 months work experience in a church. So I put my resume out there wanting to be a pastor, not a youth pastor, but a pastor. And guess how many churches were interested in me? College educated, seminary graduate, zero. Zero. Nobody wanted to hire me. And I said, wait a minute, God. Since I was 18, I've been training for this. I'm going to school for this. And now I'm ready, and nobody wants to hire me. So, that I finished school in December. And January of the next year, my pastor suggested I visit this little church called Eccles Mill Church. It happened to be my former, future wife's church. So I show up there, and a year goes by, and I get married. Another year goes by, I become pastor. A few years into that, after that, we felt God wanted to go to the mission field. You know how long it took from the time we felt God's call till we got there? 5 years. See, it always kind of happens. It just doesn't happen as quickly as we want it to happen, right? Now, my wife wasn't ready to get married when I met her. In fact, she was still in high school, believe it or not. I probably wasn't ready to get married then. I probably wasn't ready to be a pastor yet either. And one reason I think sometimes we don't have more money in particular is because God said, you couldn't handle it if I gave you more. You don't have the character yet. You haven't grown enough. So God's working on it, whatever it is, because it's not ready yet. And on your outline, a couple other statements. Sometimes God does something in you before he does something through you. Sometimes he does something in you before he does something for you. There's a time of growth, maturity, developing character. That's something patience does to you, or having to wait. Paul's a good example. Paul had this amazing experience with Jesus, becomes a Jesus follower, after he becomes a Jesus persecutor. You know how long it was after that before he became this missionary that we all know so well? And now he was a highly educated Pharisee, so he knew the Bible from the Old Testament, their Bible, frontwards and backwards. You think, well, God would start using him right away, right? Scholars suggest that it was 10 years. Well, Paul was in the waiting. While he was building tents, God was building his character, we say. So, what about you? What are you doing while you're waiting for whatever you're waiting for? I pray it's not passively you're waiting, just saying, I'm waiting. Even worse, I hope you're not fussing and complaining and trying to run ahead of God. We have a term for somebody in the workforce. We went out to eat for lunch on Friday. And when you go out to eat, somebody comes to take care of you. What are they called? A waiter, right? So this waiter took good care of us. So on your outline, don't waste the waiting. What should we be doing? We should be serving while you're waiting. There's 2 years before I became a pastor, I served in Eccles Mill, eventually Greenbrier Baptist Church. I taught Sunday school. I preached. I led the youth group. The second year, I volunteered my skills to build the building. Never got paid 1 cent for those 2 years. I was serving. And hopefully growing during that time, right? Maturing. So I say it this way, passionately and persistently pursue God while you're waiting. Passionately and persistently pursue God while you're waiting. Also on your outline, just because God feels silent. I don't know about you, sometimes while I'm waiting, it's like, okay, God, what's going on? It doesn't mean that he's absent. We go back to the Bible. In the third chapter of the Bible, in Genesis, there's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Depending on the different timetables that people have, let's just say 4,000 years later, Jesus shows up. That's quite a wait, right? We also believe that he's coming back, right? How long has it been since Jesus came the first time? 2,000 years. Maybe it'll be another 4,000 years. We don't know. But he isn't silent. He's not absent when he's silent. Again, while you and I are waiting, God's working. God's always working. Paul put it this way in Galatians. But when the right time came, the perfect time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law, like everybody else. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law and sin, so he could adopt us into his very own family, his own children. So we can only have a relationship with God through Jesus. So while we're waiting, the question is, does God have your best interest in heart, at heart while you're waiting? Or is he just trying to give you a hard time? From the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, when the Messiah came, it was 400 years, we call it, of silence. We shared this once before recently, called the intertestamental period. So what was going on in the world that made it just the right time when Jesus came? Well, a new way of teaching or learning was suggested by Socrates, called the Socratic method. So just instead of the teacher just talking, the people were able to encourage and able to ask questions and learning. I don't know about you, but that's a lot better learning that way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So he's the answer to the question. The Old Testament was translated into Greek, and it was translated into Greek because Alexander the Great had conquered the world, and so everybody spoke a little bit of Greek. So everybody could read some of the Old Testament. Right? So we say, because God feels silent, doesn't mean that he's absent. Maybe it's not ready yet, whatever it is, circumstances. Maybe you're not ready yet, or that other person's not ready yet. But there's a third option, one we don't like too much. Maybe God not going to do what you and I ask. He's God, we're not. It's kind of foolish to say, oh, God, you got to fulfill my plans instead of your plans. Isaiah put it this way, my thoughts, God speaking, are nothing like your thoughts. Not even close. We can't think like God. and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. So we can't even figure it out. We can't even imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. So God's ways are so much higher, so more better, and so more much more complicated that we can't even comprehend it. So again, foolish is what his plans to fit into our plans. So we fast forward to the last week in Jesus' life. We call it Palm Sunday 2 weeks ago. Triumphal entry in Jerusalem. And somewhere like the next day or the day after that, the disciples said, some Greeks want to talk to you, Jesus. And so Jesus says, okay. And we'll pick up the story in John chapter 12. Jesus' reply was, now the what? The time has come. Multiple times he said, my time has not yet come, my time has not yet come. Now, he says, last week of his life, last few days of his life, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. Then he talks about a grain of wheat has to die, meaning be implanted in the ground, as we do with dead things, so that it can sprout and produce multiple grains of wheat. He's referring to himself. And then he will pick up the text. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Then he asks the question, should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But he just said it. My time has now come. Should I pray my will be done instead of his? We talked about that last week. My plans instead of your plans, God? Then he said, but this is the reason I came. This is the reason that you sent me to earth. So, Father, most of all, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I've already brought glory to my name, and I will do it again. And I'll do it again, and I'll do it again. Then Jesus said, when the Son of Man is lifted up, we think of that as him being on the cross, I will draw all men to myself. So can you and I say, that's what I want? Father, you to be glorified. Do it again. Again, while you and I are waiting, what is God doing? God is working. We have a verse that many of us are familiar with. All things work together for good. All things work together for good to those who are called by God according to his purpose. Mary, when she found out she was going to be Jesus, the Messiah's mom, she said, didn't understand it, but she said, I believe all things are possible. So what are you waiting for? Somebody heal? Is it possible? Some relationship to restore? Is it possible? Someone's praying for a new job or service. Is it possible? Put on your outline, and I've shared this before. We believe that God can, right? And we're praying and believing that he will. But even if he doesn't, and he doesn't always, we still believe. Let me finish with this verse from Peter. Why is God being so slow? The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. He isn't. Some people think that. You and I think that. No, he is being patient. I don't know how patient you and I are, but he is being patient. Why? For our sakes. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. Anyone to be separated from him for eternity. He wants everybody to repent. everybody to be adopted in his family, except Jesus' gift of salvation. So let me ask a simple question. Are you okay that God is being patient and you and I have to wait? I don't know about you. Sometimes I get so fed up with this world, I just say, Jesus, come back. But I quickly change that. I've got family members. If Jesus was to come back now, they wouldn't get to spend eternity with him. So maybe what's best for me is for him to come back, but certainly not for them. Let me ask you, put it this way. Is God ever late? Can God ever be late? I guess he could if he wanted to be, but no. Nobody can make him late. I think it's the last question. What if the God you're waiting for is waiting for you? Waiting for you to go and apologize to that person that, or seek reconciliation with that person you have a bad relationship with. Waiting for you to be more of a generous person with your finances. Waiting for you to be more generous with your time and talents. He's waiting for you to make some change in your diet and exercise program so you'll be healthier. What if God's waiting for you and I? So your assignment for this week is this. What is something you're waiting for? Right now, what are you waiting for? And answer the question, what are you doing to grow closer to God as you wait for him to answer? I pray you wrestle with that question this week. Let me pray with you and then we'll let you go. Ah, Father God, we are impatient people. It's just part of our nature. I thank you that as I've gotten older, I'm a little more patient than I used to be. But God, if we understand that you're almighty, you're perfect, you're a God of perfect love, you're a God of perfect mercy and grace and truth, that you'll, I guess, are never going to be early, but you're certainly never going to be late. At just the right time, at the perfect time, you'll do what you need to be done. You'll do what you need to do to fulfill your promises. And God, even though some of us would love for you to come back today, forgive us because we desire for more children to be brought into your family. That is our prayer, first and foremost. And through that, that you'll be glorified. And for anyone that's not in your family, that's either here or watching or listening, God, we pray today would be the day. You've been patiently, no matter what age they are, you've been patiently waiting. And you've been drawing them. You've been inviting them. And you've offered this free gift of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. We pray today that they would surrender their will. They would bow their knee to you and say, I'm a sinner, God. I need your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. You make that possible for all of us. So we pray that we'll be more patient people this week because our patience will bring glory to you, God. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.